I want to finalize the message series that we had and use this just basically a recap of what we've talked about and a particular scripture that is really, I haven't used the entire time we've been talking about all in, but maybe has come to your mind or maybe I do think I referenced it at one point in one of the messages, but it wasn't something I highlighted. And it's something that Jesus said in each of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about what I would say all in looks like. And so I want to just use that particular verse to kind of recap where we've been and what it means. And doing that specifically with having communion today and why that's important, why everything that the choir just sang is important to us, why we even do this together, and really what it means that Jesus gave his all for us. And so the question is, at the end of this series, is, are you all in? I've challenged us with, not just you, but myself as well, with what does all in look like for each one of us? Because it's going to look like something different for me, probably, than for most of you. And it's going to look like something different for you than maybe the person sitting next to you. But each of us has to ask that question about being all in. And now we're posed with that question as, are you all in? And so you've had about a month or so to challenge yourself in that way. And hopefully you've done some thinking, some praying, maybe some reading in Scripture to ask yourself that question. But I want to read for you out of Mark's Gospel regarding what Jesus says about being all in. And of course, this is during Jesus's ministry. He's already been out doing miracles and preaching and teaching, and he's been doing quite a bit by the eighth chapter of Mark, when he heals somebody and then he's challenged by the priests. Chapter 8 of Mark, Jesus feeds the 4,000. I'm just reading the subtitles here, the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. He's talking and saying some strong things about the religious leaders of the day. He heals a blind man in Bethsaida. And then before Jesus gives a comment about what it looks like for him to be all in with God's plan, and then what it looks like for us, in each of the Gospels where this is recorded, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it comes immediately following this confession of faith. So in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is with his disciples, and they went to a village around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" So Jesus has been ministering, preaching, teaching, doing a lot, and there's a lot of rumors going around about who Jesus is. Who is this guy doing these amazing things? And so Jesus poses that question, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And Jesus says, "But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says this, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," in other translations. Jesus asks, "Who do people say that I am?" And they're saying a lot of different things about that. And Jesus goes very personal and says, "What about you guys who have been following me? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confesses that you are the Christ. You're the one that we've been waiting for, the Messiah. Christ is simply the Greek of the Hebrew for Messiah. So after that, after Peter makes that confession, it goes on to say this. Jesus then says, "He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside, and Peter began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. 'Get behind me, Satan,' he said. 'You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.'" And so Peter hears what Jesus has to say of what this looks like to be the Messiah, And Jesus tells them, and it says, speaks plainly. There's no mystery about this. Jesus says he has to die. And Peter's like, no way. That's not going to happen. And Jesus then has to rebuke Peter and say that you're not thinking God's thoughts. You are thinking about yourself. If you're all in with me, you will understand what this means. And then it says this in verse 34, chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. Whoever wants to follow me, that's what a disciple is. Whoever wants to claim that I am a follower of Jesus, this is what must happen. They must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. And then he goes on to talk about what good is it if you forfeit your soul. If you get everything that you can get, and yet forfeit your soul, what good is that for you in the end? He makes this claim. This thing of following Jesus is an eternal thing. It's not just, hey, let's do this for a while, and then we'll see what else comes along. This is forever. This is eternal. This is all of you. This is you saying, Jesus, we are all in with you. And I think when I was reading that again and just trying to figure out how to summarize all of this, it was that particular scripture that came to mind, because being all in means we are denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. And we're doing that because of what happened in each of these instances that we read in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this confession about who Jesus is. If you believe Jesus is who he says he is, then that should make a difference in your life. And we see that happening in the disciples' lives. Was it perfect? Did they live that out perfectly? No, they didn't. Even when Jesus was gone, they didn't live it out perfectly. Even Peter was starting to struggle with this idea that these Gentile people should be Christians. And Peter and Paul have this disagreement about things, and Paul says, look, this is what God's doing. This is something bigger than just us. And so even after Jesus is gone and now sends everybody out, they still didn't do it perfectly. But if you are sitting here today, if you have confessed that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the one who he claims to be in the scriptures. There's a lot of people out there still today that say a lot of things about who Jesus is, about this whole God thing. And Jesus is asking each of us, he's asking each of you, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And if you say that I am the Christ, if you say that I am who I say I am, then this is what it looks like to follow me, to deny yourself and take up your cross. And that's not just a Sunday morning kind of thing. That is every single day you get up out of that bed and put your feet on the ground. It's another day in which you say, I'm going to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. If we're going to be all in, then that should mean something. If we say, I confess, when Jesus asked us that question, what about you, Ted? Who do you say that I am? And I say to him, you are the Messiah. You're the promised one. You are exactly who you say you are in Scripture. I believe that that's who you are, and I believe that this is what you have done. And then Jesus says to me, then take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, because you have to lose your life in order to gain it. And so this series of All In was trying to do that for us. I'm going to just give you a series of questions. These are all questions I've asked from the very first Sunday I talked about this, when we were saying, let's get ready to see God do some amazing things. And I shared that passage with you out of Joshua. We were taking a look at Joshua's life and seeing what Joshua's life, how that kind of showed us what All In looked like. And they were getting ready for God. They were going in the promised land. They were getting ready for God to do amazing things. And I ask you this question, what does it look like for you to get ready for God to do that? And then what does it look like for God to do an amazing thing in your life? What would God doing something amazing be? What would it look like? And for that to happen, we've got to take that first step. We've got to say, God, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to deny myself in some ways in order to see you do some amazing things. And Joshua and the people, they had to do that. They had to get themselves ready. The word they used was consecrate themselves. They had to spend some time with God and say, hey, we want to get ready for you to do some amazing things. And then before Joshua and the people take the promised land, they cross over the Jordan, they had to take that first step. They just say, okay, God, we're going to trust you. We're going to cross this Jordan, and we're going to trust you. We're going to take that first step. And when they do that, they get into that promised land, and they're about to fight all these battles, and I'm sure they're scared and not ready. And I ask you the question, have you had your encounter with God? Joshua encounters God, and God says, this is not your battle. Joshua says, are you for them or are you for us? And this encounter that Joshua had with the divine says, I'm not for either of you. This is my battle. I'm fighting this for you. And so I say, we need to have that encounter with God. If we're going to go all in, if we're actually going to live this out, if we're actually going to follow Jesus, and when Jesus asks the question, who do you say that I am? And we say, we're one of yours, Jesus. We're one of your followers. Then we've got to have that encounter with God. And I encourage people to have that. I encourage you to have that. And if you haven't had it yet, hopefully this morning when we have communion together, God will speak to your heart and you'll have that encounter. He'll help you say, well, this is what it looks like to be all in with me. And maybe he'll give you some ideas of what that looks like. And then I had to ask the question, as what Joshua and the people experienced, is something was going on. They had sin in their camp, and that's why they lost. And Joshua was all ready to go back to the other side of the Jordan and said, hey, it would have been better if we were over there. But they were holding on to something. They were holding on to the past. They were holding on to what they knew before. Something was holding them back from going all in. And I gave us that question as well. Is there something in your life that is holding you back from going all in with God? Is there something that is holding you back from being this follower, moving beyond the fact that, hey, I say that Jesus is God, but you know, I just keep that to myself. Or it's easy for me to confess that when I'm sitting with a group of people on a Sunday morning, but boy, don't follow me the rest of my week because it doesn't look that way. When Jesus says to the disciples, to the crowd, he says, this is what it looks like to follow me. You've got to deny yourself and take up your cross. That's an everyday kind of thing, that denying self kind of thing. There's something, oftentimes, we are our own worst enemies, and we get in our own way of following and going all in with God. And so I ask the question, if there's something holding you back. And with this series, Mark Batterson has, in this series of All In, he makes this claim, you're one decision away from a totally different life. And he can make that claim because when you make that decision to follow Christ, when you say to Jesus, I am all in with you, it does change your life. I can raise my hand and say that happened for me. Some of you can raise your hand and say that that happened for you as well. It's not a totally different life and everything's easy. I got everything I need. Nothing bad ever happens. I never go through problems. But it is a totally different life. It's changed who I am from the inside out. I am not the same person I was before. That's how transformational this thing is. And when we decide to follow Jesus and go all in, I think you can make that claim. You are a decision away from a totally different life. Your life will change. It'll be transformed. When we decide it's time to go all in. We talked about this too. We had a flashback. We were in Joshua, and then we flashed back to when they were not in the promised land yet, and Moses was still the one in leadership. And Moses was basically asking them the question, and we use Deuteronomy 6, chapter 1 through 9, which has the verse in it about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, with all that you are, surrendering all of you to him, to go all in with him. And we flash back to that, and we ask this question. Do you know about God? or do you know God? That's what Jesus wanted to know from his disciples. There were a lot of people that thought they knew something about Jesus. They had a lot of different things they'd like to say about who this Jesus is. But Jesus wanted to know from his disciples, there's a lot of people that say they know about me, but not many who truly know me. What about you guys? Do you know about God? Do you know about Jesus? Or do you know me? And that's a question that I pose to all of us. That's different. It seems so simple, but it is very different. There's a difference between knowing about God and coming and getting a bunch of information at a church, or opening your Bible and getting a bunch of information, or listening to a radio program, a TV program, and getting a bunch of information about God. Oh yeah, I know a lot about God. But when Jesus comes to us and says, "Do you know me, Ted?" There's a lot of people that know about me or think they know about me. Do you know me? When you go all in, when you say, okay, here's what it looks like to know me, you got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. There's a difference there. And I challenged all of us, if we're going all in, we've got to recognize that difference and say to ourselves, I don't want to just know about God. I want to know God. And that is a relational thing. It's not an informational thing. It's being in relationship with God. And then I asked the question last week out of Hebrews, as we run this race, I used that analogy that the author of Hebrews was using, that Paul uses often, this analogy of running this race. And I said, are we fixing our eyes on Jesus? Because when we go all in, it can get weary at times. We could lose heart at times. But unless we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're never going to be able to finish. Unless you fix your eyes on Jesus, it's going to be really hard to say, I want to go all in. And so this morning, as we come to receive communion, that's the question. And I ended last week with this phrase, the reason why we go all in with Jesus is not because Pastor Ted tells us to. It's not because I grew up going to church. It's because Jesus Christ was willing to give everything he had for us. Even when his closest friends, his disciples that were hanging out with him, and Peter says, Jesus, that can't happen to you. You're not going to die. Jesus says to him, get behind me. My mission is to go to that cross. I am all in with what God is doing, and I'm going to that cross, and I'm doing it for you. And I'm doing it for this world, that God so loved the world, all of us, that he gave his son. Jesus was willing to give everything for us. And that is why we are willing to go all in with him. So as we come to the table this morning, as we come up to the altar and receive communion and have that together, I'd just like you to think about that as you're sitting there quietly waiting to come up here, as you're up front here, and maybe just having your own conversation with God as I give you the bread and I pass you the cup. Just think about that. Think about what it is that God has done and what it looks like for you to go all in. Think about some of these questions that I've asked about what it looks like to go all in, and find out from God whether or not you've done that yet. And think about this. If Jesus came to you and said, all right, Ted, put your name in the blank there. I know a lot of people say a lot about me. But what do you say about me? Think about what your answer is, and then what it looks like to deny yourself, take up your cross, and to go all in with God. As I say every time we receive communion, you don't have to be a member of Grace EC Church. You simply have to be a part of God's family. You simply have to have made that confession as Peter did, that he is the Christ, that he is the one that has lived the life that we couldn't live. He is the one that died, even though I should have been hanging there. He did it for me. He is the one that did not stay in that grave but rose again on the third day and now intercedes for us. He is the one that has forgiven you of your sin and provided salvation. If you've believed that by faith, then you are welcome at God's table. And so I invite all of you who have done that to come forward to have that. The ushers will be served first, and we'll have communion first, and then you'll be dismissed by your pew to come up and receive that. As we begin that, let me just have a word of prayer, and confess to God that we know we need that saving. We know we haven't always been all in with Him. And we'll confess that together. You can confess that as I'm praying as well, and be ready and prepared to receive the bread and the cup. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for what it is you have done for us. God, we're so thankful for the fact and the truth that Jesus is who he has claimed to be. And it is because of that, and it is that faith that we have put in who he claims to be, that we believe we have salvation through your Son. God, we know that we are in need of that because, Lord, collectively together we confess to you this morning that we are sinners. God, we have not always been all in for you, and in fact, at times we've been against you. And yet you welcome us back to your table. God, we're so thankful for that, Lord God. If there's something in our heart, if there's something in our life keeping us, holding us back from going all in with you, Lord God, I pray that you would remove that. I pray that you would reveal it to each of us and that we would get it out of our way. Lord God, I know that you can do that for us, Lord. Forgive us for where we have failed you. Cleanse us, Lord God. Make us right again. We're so thankful your word tells us that you will wash us white as snow again. Though we were crimson, Lord God, and though our sin was dirty and disgusting, Lord God, you have cleansed us, you have washed us, and you have made us a new people. Thank you for that truth, Lord God, and continue to help us to understand what it looks like to go all in with you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.